Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We finally got a little patriotic music going for you. We're going to try to do a little bit more of that, and thank you for hanging out with us. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, and it's Independence Day in America. Happy 4th of July, everyone. We're having a great visit with our good friend Ken Davis, one of the resident historians in the Brain Trust and the author of Don't Know Much About History. Ken, 20 years. It's the 20th anniversary revised edition just out now. Congratulations on a great franchise.
Thank you very much. Been a labor of love for 20 years, and I do love this stuff. It's one of the reasons I love to get on the radio and talk to people about it. And as we were saying off air, it's a problem that we're still not doing too well on history, both in the classroom and in the halls of Congress, it seems, as well. But one thing I'll just throw out there quickly, if just for the fun of it, if you want to brush up on your history, if you don't get it all in this piece now, today's Daily Beast, I have a 4th of July Independence Day pop quiz, and it'll run down some of the details now. So
right.
Go to dailybeat.com, and you look up the quiz about American history. It's on the front page. Just a fun way to get some of those
right.
Facts straight.
Check it out there, folks. And, of course, from that 20-year-ago publication has sprung all of your other work. America's Hidden History, a Nation Rising, which is, I think that's your brand new one, isn't it? And then
that's the most recent one, except now for
the new revised edition,
hardcover version of the revision.
But I always love telling people about your children's books, folks. Ken has written several children's books, and I have them for my grandsons, and so I encourage you to check those out. Whatever Ken does is top shelf. Ken, when the Declaration of Independence was finally ready to go, there was no big room where they all gathered and lined up and signed the document. It took time.
A lot of people see that, envision that painting of the men standing around the table. That painting was actually, first of all, made 40 years afterwards. It was from the early 80s.
It was early Hollywood effect, right?
Yeah, but the truth is that it doesn't show the signing of the Declaration. What it actually is meant to depict is the presentation of the Declaration by the draft committee. So it is actually much more accurate than people might think who say, oh, that's not what it looked like. This is Franklin and Jefferson presenting the draft of the draft edition of the Declaration to the Continental Congress, and then, of course, it did go on for several days of discussion and debate. The only man who signed it on the 4th of July was John Hancock, but not in that big sweeping signature. He signs it as the president of the Congress to verify that it has been passed, and then it's attested to by the secretary of the Congress. So a little bit of confusion about what's in that painting and what it actually depicts.
You know, if you think back on when you think about what's going on in business right now, in the government right now, in our nation's capital, it's even though it's it seems like it is a lot of it looks like sausage being made. It is. There are rules. There are rules and structure, and they know what has to happen. Even though we don't always understand it as lay people, but in those days they were creating it on the fly, weren't they, Ken?
They were inventing it on the fly, and of course everything they did, and certainly when Washington eventually becomes president, he says, "I walk on untrod ground."
Right.
They were. Working on the fly. Of course, they had, British Parliament and the parliamentary system to look at. James Madison had studied every written constitution throughout human history before. And, of course, we're talking about the Constitutional Convention now, which happens 11 years after the passage of the acceptance, adoption of the Declaration of Independence. People forget there's that big swing. You mentioned it with your previous guest.
Mm-hmm.
11 years to write it, 13 years before it actually goes into effect. So there's a big period there when it wasn't working well under the Articles.
Everything could have fallen apart. I mean, there are a thousand things that could have happened that could have pulled everything apart.
And it was on the verge of falling apart, and that's why they went back to Philadelphia in 1787 to try and get it right, and created the Constitution as we know it from that draft. And so it was an extraordinary experiment, and this was an unbelievable collection of talent. Of course, we think about Jefferson, Franklin, Adams, all in Philadelphia. Right. Washington, of course, wasn't there. He was already commanding the troops up in Washington.
Right.
He has the Declaration read to the troops. But this was an unbelievable collection of political genius, and we can be glib about some of them.
Yeah.
But they were extraordinary men. Even the names that you don't know as well, James Wilson of Pennsylvania, an extraordinary lawyer. John Witherspoon, the head of Princeton University, one of the most influential men of his day. These were George Mason, I think I mentioned him. These were really extraordinary thinkers and product of the Enlightenment. They believed that the age of reason had come, and that was what was making this great change.
Well, exactly. And you know, Ken, I've joked in the past and said, you know, I want, you know, you almost wonder if they're aliens. When you think about what they created, the ideas that they had, the putting those things in writing and having those things pretty darn much stand the test of time for 235 years is nothing short of a miracle, is it?
It is miraculous. I mean, when you consider the fate of other countries and other democracies, other experiments, it is miraculous. Also, when you consider the fact that these guys, for all their genius, they were also still human beings.
Right.
They had foibles. They had flaws and contradictions.
Yeah.
They were not perfect.
And they didn't.
And they
didn't like each other a lot of times all that that much. That's another thing. They had to deal with their personalities. Hold on to that thought. Ken Davis is I. We'll be right back, folks. Don't forget his 20th anniversary of his...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.